yesterday. That is totally cool.
Yeah, he's getting married. We should call him Chris, not Crispy.
Not Crispy. That's oh my goodness. Yeah. Thanks, Justin. I love those words about just stepping into his embrace and connecting with him, taking hold of him. You know, I was thinking about, I'll do what you say. Romans 3:23. So, you know, I told you last week, okay, I finished this excursion on presence, but it's like, I realized we'll never finish it. It's like everything about it's about his presence, right? And I was thinking again about this thought about glory, right? Glory always points to the Father. Always. It's a glory reveals the Father. It's like a connector to the Father. It shows us his attributes. It kind of like uncovers his nature. This part about his presence in us and us being hosters of his presence, you know, carriers of it. It's like, that's what it's all about. It's like this thing of, wow, we're beacons to the Father. We're illuminators of the Father. We're helping people connect to the Father. We're, right, because of the glory in us, because we're all about this being glory carriers, and the promise is this glory gets bigger, right? Which is really just us acquainting ourselves with the new, really, right? It's like, we're learning to shed the old. We're getting rid of fear, doesn't get a vote anymore. And so this thing around us that, like, when the kids come in, the grandkids come into your home, they can't help but be impacted by what you're carrying. But what's, right? You've got this, that piece. It's like, it's not just because God came and visited for a visit. It's like, no, it's in you and on you. It's like this thing, it expands. And the glory gets bigger because we're learning to be more intimate with them. We're learning to connect with them more. We're learning to get rid of the old. We're learning to be bolder and braver and increasing lovers of him. And it's like, you can't help it. It just expands, right? And Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of that. And I was thinking, you know, it's like, if we look at that verse as in, sorry, this is a bad image in my head. It's like, you ever any Seinfeld people in here? the soup Nazi? No soup for you. It was a character in the show that, it's like, if you were, he had a counter, a kitchen or a restaurant, and people would line up out the door to get his soup. And if you like broke the rules or broke the kitchen rules or the line protocol, or you disrespected him, he'd always say, "No soup for you," you know? And it was called the soup Nazi. No soup for you.
No soup for you.
No soup for you. And it's like, I was thinking about this. It's like, that's not God. He's like, okay, if you do all these things, and if you don't, make sure I'm approving of this, make sure, it's like, then I'll give you some of me. Then I'll let you connect with my glory. Then, right? It's like, the truth is, this thing of they've sinned and fallen short, it's like, they didn't know who they were. They didn't have any sense of their worth, their value. They didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. And so the truth was, he's like this.
Right.
Here's my glory. And they're over in the corner, hiding. Right? And I was looking at that word fallen short this morning. And it says, one of the definitions of that word, which was hustereo, the Greek word, it means failing to become a partaker.
Whoa.
Right? Failing to become a partaker. Another one was, you're lacking in excellence or worth. It's like, this is who you are. and you're over there, right? This is who you are. This is what you're called to, and you're hiding over there. So it's like, it's not a condemnation of judgment, like, I'm withholding this from you. I'm here. My arms are open. You're running away. You're hiding. In fact, you're so self-absorbed, you don't even see me, right? So I've just been rethinking this. What does it mean to, where all have sinned and fall short of the glory of him? It's like, it's not because you're bad. I'm not giving you this. God can't help but give it, by the way. He has one nature. Yeah, he has one response. Love. He has one thing. Come on, let me give you a hug.
Yeah.
To the prostitute and to the priest. He has one response. And right. So we're the ones not stepping into the hug. So with that kind of backgroundish thought, there's an encounter we see in Exodus 33. And it's Moses coming down from the mountain after his encounter with God. Right? And the people are over there worshiping an idol. The people are over there self-absorbed. The people are over there disconnected from him, right? God calls them stiff-necked and says, hey, my presence, it's not going in the midst of that. His presence, he's like, I feel like he's like, here's my presence. Come on in.
Right.
You're over there, though, right? It's like, my presence isn't over there. It's right here. And and Moses' response in Exodus 33, in verse 13, he says, now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses says to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please. Moses says, please, show me your glory. Right? I love this thing that Moses is asking. He's like, God, I just reveal to me your ways. There's a way about you. God, I want to know that. And then he says this, show me your glory, God. And I thought, you know, if you want a couple of goals for your life, you ever do that exercise at work maybe, where it's like, okay, what's our purpose? What's our mission statement? Where are we going here? Here you go. Here are two goals. If you wrote them on those, tattooed them on your hand and put them on your wall. It's like, this is the best mission statement on the planet. God, reveal your ways. God, show me your glory. God, there's an interesting word in here that it's expressed two times, where God is releasing this connection with him. He calls it his knowing. God's releasing this knowing of his ways through relationship. The word that's used here is yada. Yada. Right? It's through this co-laboring, this connection with him, he's letting us know that here's who I am. This is what I'm like, right? And so if I want yada, if I want that depth of connection with him, that knowing about him, the only way to get yada is through presence, right? It requires a relationship with him. It requires an encounter with him. I was listening to a podcast this week. It was just a little Facebook clip from a guy that we love, Steve Backlund. One of the things that Steve says all the time is, when he's talking about your belief systems, he says, you know, one of the most important things in our life, one of the most, I won't say it like him, but the things that we can focus on in our belief, right, is what do we think about God? He says, what is that I know about him? What is that I know to be true about him? And somebody had appended, he was sharing, he goes, it's like they added on to it. They said, well, and the second most important thing is, what do you think he thinks about you? And I thought, wow, that's really good. Mm-hmm. This yada, you know. Sorry, thinking about Seinfeld again. You know, they were like, do you ever hear them go, yada, yada, yada? Mm-hmm. They were like, and in the context of that show, because that's where I sort of remember it, it's one of those, you know, okay, enough already, get on with it, you know, quit talking, you know. It's usually accompanied by, you know, an eye rolling, tilt your head back, you know, probably like dramatic effect, hey, what you're talking about is kind of like unimportant or obvious to everybody else, yada, yada, yada. Like, good, stop already, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this term yada, it's found all throughout the Bible. And by the way, let's just say Seinfeld missed it. but yada is found all throughout the Bible. One of the first times we see it is scripture in Genesis tells us that Adam yadad Eve. It's fun to look at what they think that means. Because some of them say, oh, he knew Eve. Other ones, and it's, by the way, it's right before it says, oh, and so here's Cain. Right? It's like, oh, so there's a whole lot more than just, oh, I'm having a conversation with Eve here. Right? So part of this yada, you know, some say and Adam lay with Eve. Others say Adam knew Eve. And they're both right, right? But it's like Adam yadad Eve. And so they're all correct, and there's in the Hebrew language, there's like different dimensions of this thing called yada, of knowing, that all kind of come together to like make up like five distinct dimensions of yada that all come and say this is what it means. And in fact, in the Greek, in the New Testament, there's a word gnosko, which has the same impact, the same. It's the how the Greek describes yada, right? And so I just wanted to share those dimensions of yada, about know, when he said, when Moses says, I just want to know you, and God says to him, I know you, right? Mm-hmm. So one of those dimensions of yada is that that we would know something in complete detail. It's like we study it, analyze it, we're investigating it. It's like, until I know this completely. It's sort of like detective shows up at the scene of the crime, and he's looking around. What happened here? Right? He's looking for evidence. He's looking for, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen it, the toppled vase or the fingerprint on the wall or the broken this and that. Or he's collecting data. It's like a mystery, right? And you have this thought, it's like, well, how much of God is there to know? Yeah, I know, right? It's like I wrote it down. How much of God? It's like I started kind of like giggling myself. It's like, you know, this thought of having a complete revelation of him. I think I shared with you before, when I went to college, I was convinced I had it all. I knew God. What more could there possibly be to learn? I went to youth group, went to Sunday school. right? So and I was thinking, it's like when you read a scripture that you've read 100 times, and for whatever reason, the temperature's right, the sun's coming through the window right, you had this incredible dream, something about the environment, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit shows up and goes, wham, in scripture, and you're like, wow, I have never seen that before.
Right?
And it's like, something jumps off the page at you, and you're like, and you're texting, you're emailing, you're calling your girlfriend, you're telling your spouse, and like, and don't be surprised, by the way, sometimes if they go, oh.
Right.
Because for what, you know, maybe they're, or maybe they go, oh, like, I've never seen that either. Or the one that irritates me, sorry, but it's the one that goes, oh, you're just not getting that.
I got
that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Don't be that person. Don't be that person. If somebody shares, like,
right.
The Lord, I just got this. You know what? Celebrate with them. Encourage them. And maybe you don't get it. It's like, and let them know. It's like, tell me more. Because I don't see it yet, or I'm not, and that's okay. I wanted to share, I'm excited. It's just something inside of me came alive. When you said treasure hunt this morning, I ran out the shed when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
We had these, ever seen these books?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, when I would go on trips, I would go out to find these books. It's like, what, there's another one? And who did, and they're called I Spy books, and yeah, and we would, they're just little, you know, pictures, sometimes they're scenes, mystical things, you know, and it's like I'm looking inside this picture for a flashlight, or a magnet, or in this one, a safety pin, and we would sit here and go, and the kids would climb on our laps, and we'd ground around on the couch, and we would just like, okay. And then all of a sudden, you're staring at this picture, it's like, I got it, I found the safety pin. It's like, don't tell me. and it's like, all of a sudden you're like, what is it? And then all it's like, okay, give me a hint. Somewhere over. And then all of a sudden it's like a beacon on the page.
Right.
It's like, how can I miss the safety pin? Now it's like this big. And we, in the past, we've gone through these books, and it's like, I remember this scene, and that safety pin that you found before, it's buried here, man. I know where a safety pin is. And there's just the, oh, I don't know why. I just had fun this morning when you said treasure hunt. But it's like in Ephesians 1:17, Paul is telling the believers that you would, he's praying for believers, by the way. He's praying and speaking to the believers, the ones who know him already.
Right.
That they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Right.
That they would have a, that there would be this, that more, it's like, oh, that you would have a hunger and a passion for the more. In other words, it's like, Paul knows there's like, yadah is like this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, that you would, it's like, that there's so much more of him, that you would have this love inside of you for the more. And it's like, I already know him, but there's more to be known about him. Paul's like, hey, it's like an I Spy book.
Right.
It's like, hey, have you found the magnet yet? Have you found the safety pin, Angie?
The scripture, don't lean on your own understanding, keeps coming at me. And I think it's because the reason we don't see things is because we have an idea of what it's going to look like.
Right.
That's a really good point.
Preconceived. We have an absolute idea. And so we're looking for that thing. And that's why the Lord says, don't lean on your own understanding, because we have our own perceptions and they're very much wrong most of the time.
You know, that's a very good word right there, that we come in with a bias, and usually that bias or misperception of something, it keeps us
from seeing.
Yeah, it changes. It's like putting on a set of different colored glasses, and all of a sudden you're,
right,
that thing you're looking for might be right in front of you, but because of that bias, it's like you can't, it's blocked out to you. That's really good.
Yeah, like the world says it looks like this. This is what this looks like. And it's just completely different from the way God sees it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what he's presenting to you.
there's the second part of, so part of it is this, like, this discovery of, like, oh, what's, but it's one thing for the detective to come on the scene and go, okay, broken vase, fingerprint on the light switch, right, the rug's been kicked up, but here's what I don't know yet. What happened here? Mm. Right? So that's like the second part. It's mm-hmm. like when mm-hmm. this, it's like technically, it's like, I've got the data, right? I see all the parts and pieces, but I don't, how does this all work? Right? So, and part of that's what Paul's praying in Ephesians in 1:17. It's like that you would not just have the data, but you would actually understand the workings of this, right? It's like, how does the system, right? It's one thing to see like there's a broken cog in the machine, Don or Dave, but it's another thing to know it's like what the cog does or how it affects the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And David, I always crack up at your dad, this scene that happened in my house. So I'm not a home repair guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at that. I can learn it and I can brute force it, and it's usually clunky mm-hmm. and over-engineered, right? And so I went to Home Depot and I bought the little orange book that's about this thick, and it says how to do anything in your house, how to fix a light switch, how to stop a leaky sink, how to do whatever in the toilet, and I've got a problem. It's a thing in my bathroom, and I've gone to the book, and the book says, to repair this, you will need, and I thought, oh, okay. I went to Home Depot, I made a purchase list. I need, and I all these things, and I had them all up. I'm sitting on the floor out there, and I've got all these things laid out on the floor, and I'm like studying, because when I go in the bathroom, I'm going to, like, I got a plan, I got all the parts and pieces, I'm gonna fix this. And his dad, David's dad, his name is John, came into my house. Just, he was famous for just walking in the door, and he walks in, he sees me hunched, I've got a notepad next to me. And so I'm sitting Indian style on the floor, and I've got all the things around me, all my Home Depot purchases, and I've got my notepad, and I've got my big orange book open. It says, here's what you're going to do. And I'm like, and he walks in there and he goes, and he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I got it. And he says, no, what are you doing? I said, I got a link in the, and he goes in my bathroom, and I swear to you, he comes back in like 2 seconds, right? And he comes and he goes, okay. And with his foot, he goes, take that back. I'll leave my home people, take that back, give me that right there. And I went, what? And he picks him up, and he goes in my bathroom, and he comes back in seconds, and goes, okay, you're done. But he knew how the system worked.
Right.
I had data. He knew how the system worked.
He knew
all these connections and things. It's like, so that's this second part of the Yadah. It's like a lot of people know the
information.
They have the information. Thanks, Darla. They have the information about God. But this thing about understanding his intricacies, understanding how he works, and like getting, it's like the, here, I pray for healing, somebody, right? Let's say I pray for Dave. Dave's got a bad knee, and I pray for his knee, and nothing happens. Dave still has pain. There's no change. You know, what I say next is probably just as important as my faith for praying for his healing.
Right.
So say that again.
Okay, because here's what we do. I prayed for healing for his knee. Nothing happened. Now I go, oh, well, here's why it didn't happen. And I start to create excuses, usually because, Angie, my bias of not knowing him, mm-hmm. I may be embarrassed that I prayed and he wasn't healed. Or I'm like, well, I don't want to be like the weak one here. So Dave, it's probably something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's your relationship with the Lord, Dave? He probably, right? And we end up creating, we create an image.
Right.
Or we create a story about God that it's not his nature. It's not his character. It's not what he says. Look, and so understanding his ways is just as important here. So when you, by the way, when you do that, you pray for somebody, they're not healed. That doesn't, I may not understand why. God, I prayed. He said pray and you would heal. That doesn't change God.
Right.
And we'll, maybe we'll, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but I'll so leave it at that. Say, look, what you say at this point is just as important. And don't, because you're embarrassed or because you're disappointed or because you're sad or whatever, don't change the nature of God because of your disappointment.
Right.
Right.
That's good.
Okay. This third dimension of Yada in Scripture, it's the personal experience part. It's the part that only happens because you've had an encounter.
Mm.
You've been here before.
Mm.
I've seen this. And I can talk about it. And so, I mean, if I was to say, hey, Don, good news, I'm taking you to Hawaii, my treat, okay? And Don's gonna go, all right. And,
okay, I think that's prophetic.
Yeah. Hey, Don, and I got good news. I got good news for you. I'm gonna fly us there.
It's even better.
No, John. I'm flying us there.
That's even better.
I am going to pilot the plane, Don. Never done it before.
That's okay. I
but I slept at a Holiday Inn last night.
Right?
This commercial's like, you're the brain surgeon.
Right.
Surgeon? Do you know what you're doing? No, but I slept at a Holiday Inn last night.
Right.
Is that where Jesus thinks the wheel comes in?
Yeah. It's like, hopefully Don goes, hey, thanks. Hey, I'm kind of busy right now. That would be the right answer, by the way. A lot of people, they suffice with just reading, right? And it's like, hey, I got stuff, and I figured it out, and I've got some data. But they don't have a personal relationship with them, right? And they're trying to describe to me the kingdom of God, how it works, what to do, without any personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably, if I was to say, oh, all these things to me all sort of feed into this point right here. It's like, God, everything about him wants you to have an encounter with him.
Mm.
I mean, you're the center of everything for him. He wants an encounter with you,
right?
Just the two of you.
Angela brought up a good point.
Go ahead. Say it.
She said it's like a priest giving marital advice.
Never.
Marriage counseling.
Sorry. We were sort
it's
of
so
having, I'm not. Nope, I'm on tape. That's funny. God wants us to have an encounter so that we can become an encounter.
Right.
Right? Treasure hunter.
Yeah.
It's like, I have an encounter. Oh. So we can have, you could, I can bring this encounter to you so they can have an encounter.
Right.
Right. So, Yada, knowing him, is this experiencing this personal encounter with God. So I become this place where his presence is like, man, this is where we hang out. It's like, this is, oh man, this is, oh, I don't want to leave here. Sometimes you've experienced that in worship. It's like, I just want to stay here. Right? So Yada is like, man, I have this encounter. And then it's like, I step out of this place and it's like, man, I'm like a wet sponge. Mm-hmm. I leak. Mm-hmm. I am dripping on everybody around me, and I'm releasing and bringing encounters to our friends in Starbucks, our Walmart aisles, and it's like they're whether they felt it or not, man, they're in my space, and they're gonna get part of this encounter. And part of this encounter is like signs and wonders. It's like, hey, can I pray for you?
Mm-hmm. So you know, like Bill Johnson's son, isn't he deaf?
Yeah, he is.
So he prays for other people and they get healed, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's still deaf.
He prays for people to receive hearing.
Yeah,
people
that's
that
what
deaf,
I mean. Yeah. And they receive hearing.
Deafness leaves.
Yeah. That's about it.
Man, so this thing about this personal encounter, it's like, yeah, you mm-hmm. in the midst of this thing, we leak on people. Sorry, that doesn't sound very scripture. That doesn't leak on people.
Yeah.
But
God uses
okay.
that, his deafness
Slash.
For good.
Yeah.
Yes.
He can speak so well.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like our encounter brings an encounter for them to have an encounter. Yes. Their encounter is encountering signs and wonders. It's encountering miracles. It's encountering healings. It's encountering the prophetic. It's encountering revelations and insights. And
yeah.
Oh, come on. So in Habakkuk, in the early couple first two chapters of Habakkuk, he's having this conversation with God, and he's like asking God for the solution to the world's problems, really. Because his complaint is, hey, it sure looks like the enemy's winning.
Yeah.
Okay. And God's answer is in the second chapter, and you'll know this verse. He says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. Right? You've heard that verse? Mm-hmm. So for me, and that's Habakkuk 2, 14, right? It was, what I always remember is, oh, the glory of the Lord covers the earth. Maybe you're like me. Like, isn't that what the verse says? The glory of the Lord.
Oh my gosh.
The glory of the Lord will cover the earth. But we just misquoted it. It says, the knowledge of him, the yada.
Yeah.
The yada of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we're realizing there's a huge difference between the glory, right? You get where we're going?
Yeah.
Right? That God wants us to, it's like, there's an encounter we're having that's inviting his glory, his presence here, yeah. Right? That's encouraging me, stirring me to bring it here.
Yes.
For you to have it here.
Right.
Right? Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, the glory covering the earth starts to make sense to me. It's like, oh, right? But it all comes from the encounter. Right? It all comes from us having this personal I spy moment. I found a safety pin. Mm-hmm. It's like, what propelled me to the street this morning? I found a safety pin. It's like, you need to know this. There's that the verse, the aha moment, and you get excited and you go tell your neighbor, you're on Facebook, I found this today. Sorry, there's probably something about the woman and the coin. Oh, you do, guys,
right.
You don't know.
Right.
In John 8:32, Jesus says, "You will know. You'll know. Yada. You'll know the truth. Because of yada, you'll know truth, and it's going to set you free."
Yeah.
It's this personal encounter. Truth is discovered in the personal encounter. Truth is discovered in the intimate relationship, right? And but there you go, glory covers the earth.
Wow.
Come on. Oh. All right, the fourth dimension. Moses experienced it. It's the face to face, just me and you encounter. right? It's one thing, hey, you were all here in the room and you saw me pray for Dave's knee and Dave's healed, and you go, whoa, that's cool. Or Lori tells about her cancer, and we all go, come on.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You hear the yada yada when, you know, after a while, you've been told over and over, and it's going up, and you hear the yada yada, sometimes even with prayer, now it's like an aha.
Right.
And now it's like, now all of a sudden, it's like, I guarantee you what you thought about the doctor report and what Lori thought about it are two very different experiences.
Yeah.
We're sharing your joy. This is like this is like joy coursing through a body joy.
Yeah.
Right? This is right. So there's a personal encounter that he wants. No, okay. And by the way, he loves personal encounters with you.
Mm-hmm.
The Father loves the personal encounters. It's like when these guys were small, we would play things like hide and seek, right? And so there's always this excitement, this anticipation. And they would play on their own sometimes, but when Dad played, there was a giddiness, like, or Mom, right? It's like a giddiness, like the big people are playing with us, right? And then we would hide so they could never find us, right?
No.
There would always be the shoe that would stick out from the blanket. From the door that would be cracked open, because they're getting giddy as they're searching for Mom or Dad. It's like you're hiding in such a way that
they're going to find me.
Right.
And when that happens, there's going to be this whee! There's going to be this squeal and swirl of something. And maybe you jump out. Ah! You grab them and you roll around a little bit. Isaiah says, seek him while he may be found.
Yeah.
He wants to be found. Mm-hmm. James says this. If you're reminded, if you come near to him, he'll come near to us.
Mm.
It's like he wants to be found. He's made it easy to be found. All we have to do is like get out of the corner and head this way. It's like just take a step. Just risk it. Take a step. It's like get yada in this case. It's like drawing. It's the step. It's the pursuit of the encounter. It's the I'm heading your way. I just want to find you. A lot of people know lots of stuff about God.
Yeah.
And they can recognize him. Right? But this Moses has this face-to-face personal encounter, relationship with God. He yadah with God. Okay? The people that, remember when he comes down from the mountain, they chose to distance themselves.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So God wants the encounter, right? As he's kind of like releasing who he is in his ways. And the people, instead of relationship, got the law.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I'll say it this way. So, religious performance is always a substitute of this personal face-to-face encounter.
Mm-hmm.
God's like, everything about him is trying to release you from the law. He's trying to get you free from religious performance. He's trying to get you to take your mask off and have a brave conversation about, man, all I knew was this broken image of you. I didn't know, right? That's okay. It's like, and so we, as we yada him, we fix this image of him as getting fixed. the belief systems getting corrected. We're, Paul said, renewing our mind to think this way. We talked about this morning, we're acquainting ourselves with this new, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth, and I'll stop here, right? So the fifth dimension of Yada is the, it really is the, it's the intimate, the physical intimacy part, right? But before you go, well, what's that gotta do? What does sexual intimacy gotta do with this, with Yada and God, right? There's lots of ways, by the way, that we're referred to as the Bride of Christ, and right there's a and you read Song of Solomon, right? You're like, okay, there's something here. God, what is all this supposed to mean for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that here. I'll read it to you. 1 John 3:9. Right. Well, let me open it up because there's a couple places that we're reminded about that. Here, hold on. Don't talk. Second. Nope. 1 John 3. I'll just read one verse, too. 1 John 3:9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Do you know what the Greek word for seed is? Sperma. It's where we get our the term sperm, right? In other words, like God's deposited something inside of us, right? He tells us, that my Holy Spirit has been deposited inside of you. It's like my commitment of the intimacy of our connection.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple. There's another one, and you can go look it up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For God's seed is in us. It's like he is so connected to be this with you, right? He says, I've deposited something inside of you. And by the way, and we could go, I could probably go down lots of rabbit trails. It talks about fruitfulness born out of intimacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's birthed out of intimacy, right? But I guess I'll leave it with this for you guys. And because I guess you could say that this, all these dimensions of Yada, they all like build. That, and they would probably say, and I'm not a scholar in this, that Yada is not achievable without all these pieces all coming together, right? And so it starts with this. Remember the detective phase? Right? This like, okay, what's the data? And then we get into this, wait, what's happened here? What's your ways? Then we get into, right, the connective encounter, then the personal encounter, then the intimate encounter, right? All of this is because we're glory carriers. We have a glory bubble around us, and we're here to change the world through this glory that we're carrying. And now we start to go, wait a second, all this starts to make sense when Paul says, Christ in you. Christ,
right.
Christ
the
in you. What is it?
The hope of glory.
That's the hope of glory. Right?
Wow, so good.
Before, but before his glory can flow, you have to experience it.
Yes.
Right? And so this supernatural lifestyle, this release of the miracles and the prophetic and the impartations and the, you can build a list, right? You know, it's like it comes out of this Yada relationship, and you know, you can go rethink maybe that thought when he talks about I'm in you and you're in me. Go, what is it? How about when he talks about apart from me, you won't bear any fruit? What's it, right? Now it's like, oh, wait a second, all this is starting to connect with me now, right? And Paul, my last one, Philippians 3:10, Paul says, I just want to know Christ. Yada, gnosko. I just want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Two parts. As I know him, he releases this, right? There's an order to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'll stop there. Just say yada yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like that we would know him. So Father, I just say, release this passion for Yadav. Release the desire for knowing you in every dimension, God. So if it has to start with the discovery of something new, God, is it a new excitement in a worship time or a quiet time in our bedroom? Is it something in my prayer closet, my drive to work, God, the personal encounter? God, I pray that you stir us, God, stir our church, stir our family here, mm-hmm. to just discover you in great new ways. Amen.
Amen. Amen.